ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Let's go to Made in NZ, where each week we meet a local business manufacturing on our shores. And today we're going to hear about Heed, who make early warning systems for wastewater and stormwater networks. I'm joined by CEO Garth Tunnicliffe. Hi, Garth.
Hi, Jesse. How are you going?
Good. How'd you find yourself solving this problem?
I got involved with a company about a year and a half ago. I was asked to sit on the advisory board while they were R&Ding the tech and give some free waters advice. And then one day the founder said to me, oh, do you want to have a go running it? So here I am.
Tell me about your product.
It's essentially a fire alarm for manholes. So it sees the fluid coming up, then connects to the network and lets the council know that, hey, there's something going on in this hole. Go and check it out. I don't know how much you know about manholes, but it's a pretty corrosive and rugged environment, so a bit of a problem to solve there.
What do you mean? I know nothing about manholes, by the way. And what do you mean by rugged and corrosive environment?
So lots of gases, methane. The manhole itself is essentially a Faraday cage, right? So no signal in or out. And generally speaking, people have been trying to solve this problem. I think the first sort of attempt at it was in the 1970s to try and give councils some indication of when something's going on that they need to solve for.
So you can make a sensor, but then you've got to somehow work out how to send the message from the sensor to whoever needs to hear about it.
Exactly. Which is quite a bit harder than it sounds, because the metal lid is essentially a shield for any signals coming in or out of the hole.
How do you solve that one then?
We've got a patent on the way we do it. So there's a 36mm hole drilled in the lid, and the antenna cap fits in there, and it's an enclosed unit that bolts to the bottom, and then that's the brains of the operation. And then what it does is it looks for a sensor that hangs down the manhole, and all that sensor's doing is emitting a number. So it might call out, I'm number 10 twice a second, and the computer bit, the smarts of it, wakes up and goes looking for that number if it can see it and goes back to sleep. And if it can't see it, that's when it alerts the council. And the reason for it sleeping so much is, one, you don't want to be in manholes, but two, battery life's pretty precious down those holes.
What does it look like, and how hard is it to manufacture?
We do a lot of the manufacturing. All of the design and assembly is done in New Zealand. If you think of a square box, maybe 10 centimetres by 10 centimetres, there's ribs under a manhole cover, so it'll fit anywhere inside one of those. And then the beacons are just a cylindric capsule. It doesn't look as hi-fi as it is, and we've purposely gone down the simplicity route. So a lot of stuff on the market is pretty expensive, and that prevents councils from rolling out at scale, right? Because the more, so Auckland, for example, something like 100,000 manholes. And if they even have 100 problem manholes that they need to keep an eye on, sending someone out there to look down a hole, say, oh, cool, that might be blocking, or having a device down there which is more expensive to run it, quickly adds up. So what we've tried to do is just give them a yes or no. There either is or there isn't fluid. They can go out and sort that out.
Yeah, sounds great. That part that sticks out the top, obviously that's strong enough that a car driving over it won't break it.
Yeah, absolutely. Good question. We've put a 4-ton roller over top of it with no breakage to test
it. Wow. So,
glass polypropylene with glass reinforced fibre content. and idea development and fielding help us build that.
How has the uptake been?
Good. We're working with 15 of the 67 city and district councils. New Zealand's a really good testbed for tech in general. Just sort of focusing on working with councils to iron out the pain points and working out what they like and what they don't. We alerted councils 1,556 events in the past 12 months. Just put that in perspective, there were 2,000 reported dry weather events last year and 1,000, oh sorry, in 2022, and 1,000 wet weather events. But there's a pretty big variance in reporting due to how they report and not, you know, they can't report what they don't know, which is often the case. They don't know when some of these manholes are overflowing. And there's a pretty big cost involved if something does overflow. Quite often, public reputation is the first thing. You know, someone calls up and says, "Oh, I've got something coming out of a manhole running down my backyard." Cleanup cost alone is between $5,000 and $15,000, depending on the location and type. Time and money involved, reputation, any regional council fines if it's a discharge to water or unallowed discharge, and not even mentioning the environmental damage.
Mm.
So these events are happening more and more regularly as well, with aging infrastructure, frequency of weather events increasing as well.
Why do you make them in New Zealand and not somewhere presumably cheaper like China?
Yeah, great question. Two of the founders are entrepreneurs. They've been around for a while. They both grew up in Taupo and love the water. I myself love being able to protect the water, and one's a kayaker and one grew up sailing. So you hear about how pristine and clean and green New Zealand is, and being able to do something to protect that is really important. Keeping everything in-house as well means we can work closer with the councils to build what they want. A lot of our internal stuff, we can use 3D printers to test and do, work with people all around New Zealand on coding and assembly and testing and whatnot. So it's good to be close to the to the ground, basically.
Do you reckon 3D printing is going to make international manufacturing less relevant, more likely that New Zealand companies can make stuff in New Zealand?
Depends on what they're making. The variation of 3D printing and the types of plastics involved is so wide-ranging that it really depends what you're trying to do. For us, it's great because every time we redesign a component or want to test how something fits, we're fortunate enough to be able to whip that up. If you're going overseas, you then have to get into tooling and actually make an injection molded machine, which brings the cost down a little bit. However, you lose that flexibility around being able to design and iterate.
Got a important question from my producer Rachel. Are you going to continue calling them manholes, or might you at some point in the future be pressured to start calling them person holes?
That's an excellent question. I've actually looked into that quite extensively. Inspection shafts, they're called overseas. So industry terminology hasn't quite caught up yet. So we'll see what happens there.
Inspection shaft, yeah. Not quite as catchy, eh?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm. So you talk mostly about the New Zealand market, but you must be looking to go overseas too, are you?
Yeah, so patent covers New Zealand, Australia, US at the moment. We're looking at Europe as well. This is a global problem. A lot of the companies around the place are looking globally, and everyone's got the same issues. Like I'll occasionally open an inspection shaft and look down there, and there's brick channel down the bottom from 50 odd years ago, and, mm. and it's the same or worse around the place too. New Zealand's a small market. We need commercial support for this, and it's a pretty tumultuous time, along with free waters as well for the industry, and only going to get worse with climate events too. So there's definitely a need for it, both in New Zealand and further afield.
Really lovely to meet you, Garth. Good luck, and thanks for telling us a bit of your story today.
Appreciate your time, Jesse. Thank you very much.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.